So you were talking about atrial fibrillation. I've got to ask you about this paper in a journal that I don't usually read, Cancer Biology and Therapy, on left atrial abnormality as a predictor of ibrutinib atrial fibrillation. Never heard of that.
So that was really a project I had enjoyed doing. I did that with Dr. Joe Carver, who is the head of cardio-oncology at University of Pennsylvania. And that was an attempt to try to understand which of our patients would develop atrial fibrillation prior to the start of ibrutinib. And we had this hypothesis that, if patients had any abnormality in conduction within the atria or the size of the atria, those patients would be at highest risk. And so I worked with Dr. Carver to develop three different criteria looking at conduction delays or P. mitrali or other abnormalities that you could see in the atria that might predict which patients would develop AFib later on. And it was really simple. You could use the ECG, very reproducible criteria. Any internist or cardiologist could follow those guidance. And the odds ratio was somewhere between 2 and 3 that those patients would be at higher risk. I wouldn't say if you had those abnormalities that you shouldn't use the drug because it's still a relatively low risk. But I would say if there's something wrong with the atria on an ECG, it's probably worth getting an echo. It's worth paying more attention to that patient, looking for symptoms, palpitations, anything that might be suggestive of AFib. Because if you catch it early, you can manage these patients with rate control, plus or minus an aspirin or anticoagulation. And so we presented that 2 years ago now at the IWCLL meeting, which was in New York City. And we published those data in Cancer Biology and Therapy, which is a very neat journal where they allow bench to bedside or bedside to bench articles to be presented.
I've got to check that out. Are you actually doing that in your practice? Have you incorporated that?
It's not a formal incorporation, but we do look at patients' ECGs to see whether or not there's anything that might raise a concern. And certainly at Penn, if I had any patient like that, I would have immediately recommended they see Dr. Carver. The same is true at MSK with our cardio-oncology group.
Interesting.